Okay, this is Dr. Shu's first lecture on the thorax. So we have a superior thoracic aperture, the thoracic inlet, an inferior thoracic aperture, the thoracic outlet. We have a respiratory diaphragm that divides this thorax from the abdominal pelvic cavity. Diaphragm's skeletal muscle. And then if you see radiographs, you can notice air, fat, water, and bone. Bone is going to be white. Air is going to be negative. Fat might be stringy or also white. Excellent. Water. Okay. In terms of the developing diaphragm, you have four definitive parts that it comes from: the septum transversum, the esophageal mesoderm, the pleuroperitoneal membrane, which is what initially closes the abdominal pelvic cavity from the pericardiopleural cavity. And then you have body wall mesoderm. So septum transversum, esophageal mesoderm, pleuroperitoneal membrane, body wall mesoderm. Think TV, thoracic vertebrae level 8, 10, and 12. You'll have the esophagus, the inferior vena cava at 8, the esophagus and vagal branches at level 10, and then the aorta and thoracic duct behind, kind of in between the crura, at level 12. 8, 10, 12. Those are going to be where these different vessels penetrate the diaphragm. In terms of the developing foregut, you'll notice an aorta, inferior vena cava, the foregut, septum transversum, pleuroperitoneal membrane, body wall mesoderm, which eventually folds in from the outside as muscle grows. Nerve supply, the diaphragm comes from roots C3-4-5, runs anterior to the anterior scalene, posterior to the subclavian vein, and then supplies both motor and sensory function, both GSE and GSA functions. Motor, it contracts the diaphragm. That makes enough sense. Sensory-wise, it's going to supply the parietal pleura of the mediastinum, the pericardium, as well as the parietal pleura of the diaphragmatic region. And again, that's GSA stuff. The intercostal nerves we have there, body mesoderm, the lateral innervation is afferent only. That's interesting. The phrenic innervation is ipsilateral and unilateral. The pleural cavity is above the diaphragm. The pericardial innervation, left and right phrenic. Heart sits in the pericardial cavity. Intercostal nerves in a diaphragmatic recess. Okay. You can get if you have poor development, you can get a congenital diaphragmatic hernia, CDH. Occurs in 1 in 2,200 births, usually on the left side, and it is a failure of fusion of the pleural peritoneal membrane. Esophageal hiatus, TV10. That's where that came through. The thorax, divided into three compartments, has a bunch of major contents, like the heart and the lungs. The thoracic wall is musculoskeletal for purposes of protection. Right horizontal fissure. I guess we're going to have to notice that. I think both lungs have oblique fissures. Maybe we'll get into that. Thoracic wall, skin, fascia, muscles, skeleton. Bony framework is for protection. You have the sternum with the manubrium, body, xiphoid process. You have ribs, hyaline cartilage. And you have thoracic vertebrae. So the second rib will come in. Second rib is going to come in medially to the sternum between the manubrium and the body. The first rib will attach right up there by the sternoclavicular joint. The false ribs come in by the costal margin, via the costal margin towards the xiphoid process. Sternum is anterior. Top of the sternum is T2. That second rib area, if we're taking horizontal sections, the sternal angle, that's what that's called. The sternal angle is at level T4-5, and then the tip of the xiphoid is at level T9 or 10. First seven ribs are true. 8, 9, and 10 are false. 11 and 12 are floating. False means they connect to the costal margin, not directly to the sternum. Typical thoracic vertebra has a body that is shaped like a heart. Long downward-pointing spinous processes that check that extension. Three articular facets for ribs. You have a superior costal facet, an inferior costal facet, and then the transverse costal facet on the transverse processes, the anterior portion of the transverse processes. Okay, so each rib articulates with two vertebrae and a transverse costal facet. Parts of a typical rib. So if we start in the back, on those facets, you have the head that goes into the vertebral bodies, then the neck, then the tubercle that goes to the transverse processes. You have the angle of the rib. Shaft is not on here. Okay, angle of the rib. And then you have a costal groove that runs all the way along this angle. And that's where you have the vein, artery, nerve, and then hyaline cartilage in the front. Flail chest, you can have rib breakage and then ribs kind of flail outward. Inspiration gets a little bit more pathological there. I think he said it was paradoxical, which would make sense because you don't want the ribs to expand because it was hurting. Talked about this. Intercostal muscles. Okay, so intercostal muscles span one rib space. You have the external, then the internal, then the innermost next to the lungs. You have endothoracic fascia and parietal pleura, even more medially. You have a translucent membrane on the front next to the sternum. You have big red, the aorta, on the left side of the anterior spine, and then you have another transparent or translucent membrane on the back, right off the spine, because you have minimal coverage there. Okay. Intercostal muscles, motor, segmental, ventral, primary, rami, understand the fiber directions. External with external oblique, internal with internal oblique, innermost is interesting. Innermost looks to be more like the internal intercostals. Okay. Which you'll have to see the inside of the rib cage. That's your big definer there. Anterior thoracic wall, we have the transverse thoracis. These span more than one rib space, and though I think they help you with exhalation, they're also securing some neurovasculature to the posterior surface of the anterior abdominal or thoracic cavity, thoracic wall. Again, with the costal groove, vein, artery, nerve. Each intercostal space contains a vein, artery, nerve. Those nerves, ventral, primary, rami. You have a posterior intercostal artery that anastomoses with the anterior intercostal artery that stems off of the internal thoracic or mammary artery. which comes from the subclavian vein. So we have aorta up to subclavian vein, down the internal thoracic artery, and then at each level it supplies an anterior intercostal artery, which then anastomoses with the posterior intercostal artery coming straight off of the aorta. Then also coming down the internal thoracic artery, not only do we have anterior intercostal arteries, but we have superior epigastric that's going to run very anteriorly and medially. The musculophrenic, which is going to ride along the costal margin. We have the aorta, posterior intercostal we talked about. Posterior intercostals are longer than anterior intercostal arteries, so we'll remember that. Pericardiacophrenic. Cardiaco, that's what it was. Pericardiacophrenic. What was that? 29 points. That's the wrong word, though. We're going to win Scrabble. Okay, pericardiacophrenic. That's somewhere. We'll have to look that up. Costal margin, anterior intercostal artery, superior epigastric. Yes, superior epigastric and musculophrenic. Okay, coarctation of the aorta. It's a developmental problem. You can have stenosis of the aorta, elevated left brachial blood pressure, delayed femoral pulse, and notching of the ribs. It's very interesting. You can see it on a radiograph. Now, let's go to nerves. Coming down the posterior ramus, comes out the back, supplies the erector spinae, like we learned. The anterior ramus comes out, becomes intercostal nerves. I'm guessing they're supplying the intercostal muscles, yes. There is a then branch that becomes the lateral pectoral cutaneous branch. And then we can also, as it follows itself around, becomes the anterior pectoral cutaneous branch. So we have a lateral pectoral and an anterior pectoral cutaneous branch. And that's going to run near the internal thoracic artery and the anterior intercostal arteries. Okay, dermatomes, herpes zoster virus, shingles comes from the dorsal root ganglia. In terms of breathing and pulmonary and pleural cavities, you think we have a pleural cavity that expands and pulls on the lungs to open up the pulmonary cavities. There can be AP expansion or lateral expansion. Side to side, yep, that's what that says. Bucket handle, blah, 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 blah. External intercostal arteries supply me with some bucket handle function. External intercostal arteries. External intercostals, period. Help elevate the lateral shaft of the rib. Mechanics of breathing, inspiration requires energy, diaphragm, phrenic, C345, primary muscle of inspiration, accessory muscles, external intercostal muscles, and scalene muscles of the neck. Expiration is usually passive. Forced expiration is aided by the internal intercostal muscles and the abdominal muscles. We'll have to see how true that is. It's probably fine, but we'll see. The thoracic cavity has three compartments. There are two pulmonary cavities and one mediastinum. The lungs are lungs, pleural sac, pleural cavity. Okay, whatever that means. Two pulmonary cavities, mediastinum, we have that. Yes, yes. During development, the lung, pleural cavities. During development, the lung became surrounded by the pleural cavity. So the lung grows in and expands inside the pleural cavity. Sorry. The lung is not inside the pleural cavity. But it's surrounded by. Surrounded by. Because words mean things. There's two layers of pleura. There is a visceral pleura and a parietal pleura. The visceral pleura is going to surround the lung, and the parietal pleura is going to be on the body wall. Pulmonary ligament. Serous fluid keeps the intrapleural cavity lubricated. Surface projections. So the in terms of the midclavicular line, the lungs will go down to rib 6, the pleura 8, mid-axillary pleura 10, scapular pleura 12, which makes sense. Maybe. I don't know why it makes sense, but we're going to know it. So 8, 10, 12. Midclavicular, mid-axillary, scapular. The parietal pleura is named regionally, so the cervical is the cupula. The costal, then mediastinal, then diaphragmatic. Parietal pleura has somatic innervation, pain, touch, temperature, and the visceral GVAs, general visceral afferents for ischemia, other stretch. Interesting, other stretch. Okay, that's fair. Pleural recesses. There are, I guess, three major ones. There are two costo-diaphragmatic recesses on the lateral body wall, and then there is a costo-mediastinal recess for the heart. Larynx, trachea. The right main bronchus is a great place to get things lodged in because it's more of a continuation of the trachea as opposed to the left main bronchus, which kind of shoots out. The sternal angle of Lewis. It's a shorter, wider continuation. That's a good way to put it, the right main bronchus is. So it'll, if food comes down there, it can hit the carina, and it's very likely that it's going to divert into the right main bronchus because it's shorter, wider, and continuous with the trachea. C-shaped cartilage, trachealis muscle, and connective tissue. Right lung has three lobes, upper, middle, lower, two fissures, oblique and horizontal. Surfaces, apical, costal, mediastinal, and diaphragmatic. Surface impressions, cardiac impression. These are stuff we don't really need to know as much. Surface impression, so you have the cardiac impression of the right lung, so it'll be a little bit smaller than the left one would. Grooves for the major veins and grooves for the esophagus. The left lung has two lobes, and the upper lobe has a lingula. Upper lobe does? Interesting. Lingula is kind of like the middle lobe. That's a good way to put it, so it's kind of between the upper and lower. One fissure, the oblique fissure, apical surface, costal surface, mediastinal, diaphragmatic, and then the big surface impression is the cardiac impression. And the pulmonary ligament will be there somewhere in the middle. Okay. The root of the lung. All right. Here we have the primary bronchi, pulmonary arteries, veins, bronchial arteries, lymphatics, autonomic nerves, and the pulmonary ligaments. The pulmonary ligament comes down inferiorly. The main bronchus is going to be the most cartilaginous thing that you see there. Pulmonary veins, big one. Pulmonary veins are anterior and inferior, especially to this bronchus. So that's how we're going to try to identify them. Pulmonary arteries are a little more superior. Again, pulmonary veins, anterior, inferior. Secondary, aka lobar bronchi, and tertiary bronchi. There are 10 segments we don't need to know, but each section supplies a different section of the lung. Ooh, cartilage. thyroid cartilage, cricoid cartilage, the rest of the trachea. Then we have the right main stem bronchus, left main stem bronchus. The left has an upper lobe, lingula, and lower lobe supply. The right has an upper lobe, middle lobe, lower lobe supply. Again, oblique major fissures, horizontal minor fissures in the lungs, surface projections. We talked about 8, 10, 12. Let's say a man is brought by an ambulance to the emergency department with a gunshot wound in his right, fourth intercostal space, just posterior to the mid-axillary line. Chest radiograph is very expanded over there. How did the blood and air get into the pleural cavity? Serous fluid. What normally contains in the pleural cavity? Serous fluid. How can the blood and air be removed? Why did the lung collapse? Tension pneumothorax. Air enters the pleural cavity through lung wound or ruptured bleb, any penetrating chest wound, with a valve-like opening. Ipsilateral lung collapses, and the mediastinum shifts to the opposite side, compressing the lung. So, boom, yes. Intrapleural pressure rises, closing a valve-like opening, thus preventing escape of pleural air. What does that sentence mean? Pressure is thus progressively increased with each breath. Mediastinal and tracheal shifts are augmented, diaphragm is depressed, and venous return is impaired. Everything gets very cockeyed. We can give a thoracocentesis for a pneumothorax in the second or third intercostal space at the mid-clavicular line, or for a hemo or hydrothorax at the fourth or sixth intercostal space at the mid-axillary line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. The tube comes in for a... That's interesting. Okay, cool. Done.